When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Hey, this is Sabrina Jalise. I'm on the set of Carol's second act, Between Shots, and I am risking it all to record an intro because I forgot to do it on my Zoom recorder. Basically, you know what happened. Tuesday, I talked to Jordan right before he was going to Peru to do ayahuasca. Dude, you have got to hear what happened to him. And you're going to, because you're listening to this episode. If you remember, last time he said,
if I cry a lot on the next episode, just forgive me.
And he also said,
I want to learn who I am as, like, an adult.
Oh, my baby. You're back from your trip.
Oh,
you're
my
back
God.
From Peru.
Part two.
Part two, Peru.
Oh, my God.
What Guys. Has happened? What has happened to your heart?
I am truly 100% healed. I don't
know. You are not. You're not 100% healed. Are
I
you?
Actually am.
No, you're not, dude.
I am for now.
Okay. I just want to point. This is one thing that I feel like it makes it seem like. I guess you are 100% healed. Why would I take that away from you?
Yeah.
No, you're not. You're busted. You're fucking busted.
Are the levels off?
Well, it just went crazy when I started getting excited.
No, I mean, I can't even. I felt like the day I was recording this, like we had talked for a while before we recorded, and I was almost recording, or dead. Like, I can't even remember what that was like, and I was so nervous
about taking the trip. Yeah, as you would be. I mean, it's like a really brave thing to do, and I'm proud of you, and I love you.
Thank you. I love you too.
Don't you feel like I do feel like one takeaway, I've obviously not done the full journey, but like in my adjacent mini journey, is like just the takeaway of like, we are not, we should be more grateful. We should be more open and loving.
Yes.
Like gratitude-y?
There's a lot of gratitude involved in it, but I feel like I should just start from the beginning.
Let's start from the start.
So
you're the best podcast guest. You're like, let me just walk you through my 1 hour inside.
And you haven't heard me talk about this at all yet, right? Like, we have
lessons.
What is that one?
Lessons.
Oh, you're gonna get some lessons. And I do feel like part of like going, not to like toot my ayahuasca horn, but like. I had to do the hard work to like get these lessons, but now the people I tell the lessons to, they can have them without doing the hard work.
Yeah. Although you do need kind of like a heart shift sometimes
totally,
to absorb.
Totally.
Like me right now. Like you just said, I'm 100% healed, and I'm like,
no, you're not.
No, you're not. I'm infected.
I know. It is weird to be back with like, because also,
how
like,
were the shaman? Like, what, oh were the, what was what, oh what was your shaman's okay. name?
Sina, Maestro Sina.
Maestro Sina?
Yeah.
Do you find yourself like talking to Maestro Sina?
Well, I don't speak Spanish, so we did not communicate the entire time. And he truly like saw into my soul and healed me from within. Like, without speaking, I'll get into it. Okay, so.
This was gonna press that.
Ooh, that's the real deep shit.
He kept saying that. My Trostino kept being like, ooh, that's the
not a
real
lick of English except
shit.
That.
Yeah. So the trip started off like so chaotic. And I got to the airport, my flight.
Top three reasons it was chaotic. Go.
Airport, airline, airplane. But so my flight was at like 8 p.m. on a Sunday night, and like I flew overnight and then had like a 4 a.m. flight connection in like Bogota, Colombia, and then another connection at Lima to get to the jungle, and then the jungle would take me to the center, and then I was going to do the ceremony at night.
That same night?
Yes. And I was like very determined.
Jordan,
to do, I know.
First man.
Yeah, I know. It was like, I shouldn't have gotten my hopes up about that. But so it's like, 8 and then like 8:30. They're like, keep delaying it 30 minutes. And like, I'm like, I'm going to miss my layover.
Oh my God, to your journey.
Yeah. And like, if I miss one thing, then I missed all my flights. You know what I mean? Because I had so many flights. And then like
so
an hour later, it was like, actually, it's canceled completely. God. And I was like, they're like, go to the office to reschedule the flight. And I was like, no. Like, no, I'm getting there tonight. I'm not going back to my apartment in Los Angeles and like going back to my...
Did it work?
And I bought a completely new flight.
Yeah.
A one-way flight for $1,000.
Okay.
And I was just like, whatever. I hope they reimburse me.
Yeah.
And I got there. And then I still missed my flight from Lima to the thing.
Oh my God.
And so I didn't get to the ceremony that night.
Oh my God.
And then... sorry. No, Dad. My
Jordan's
dad's calling
dad
me to ask.
Has
call your
got.
Mommy.
Call your father. Oh, can't say that. okay, so then like I stayed the night in Lima. I went the next morning. It was fine. He was like, you can still do 4 ceremonies and we'll just do them 4 days in a row. And I was like, okay. Oh, that's going to be a lot. And then
holy
so
moly.
I get there and I get to this like tiny airport in Pucallpa, Peru, which is like where all the Shipibo Indians live, the Shipibo tribe
okay.
of like the Amazonians.
Okay.
And there's like 30,000 left in the world and they're basically all
in
Pucallpa.
Okay.
And they're great. Like I have like deep, deep respect now for
of
them.
Of course. I mean, like they shared their magic.
Yes, oh, totally. But I get there.
What's their life like? Because I'm picturing like olden timey tribes in the woods. It's
no,
not that.
No,
it's like
it's,
there's a 7-Eleven.
No, it's like extremely third world. Like in a way that I was not expecting at all. And like I got to the airport and I had to take like a tuk-tuk, like a motor taxi to a cab with no doors, like that the doors had been ripped
what?
Off. And
what?
Then I drove like 30 minutes
oh
in that,
God.
Then switched to another.
Imagine
like,
your Uber showed up and the doors
and
were
ripped
off.
Like nothing, like literally like the, what do you call like the front where like the like CD player and shit is?
Yeah,
that was like ripped out. Like everything was just ripped out.
Oh my God. But it was still running.
It was
and it
still
got
running.
You to...
And it got us to the next motor thing.
And what, Maestro Sina.
Sina. So his son, one of his sons picked me up. No, none of them speak any English.
Wait, from that other car? Car?
He picked me up at the airport. We both took a motor taxi.
We both. Okay, he came as a person, but not as a vehicle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
and
wow.
then, so we finally get to, and like, it
so
was,
he had to do that to go get you.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. They do that.
Yeah.
And it was really like, I was like, whoa, this is way different than I thought. Because I was expecting to go, I was like going to be in the middle of the Amazon, like lush jungle and like, and just like nice clean huts,
yeah.
you know, but it was like deeply, deeply third world.
Okay.
Just like what you see in national.
Like stinky?
I wouldn't know. No, but like
that would, yeah, that's good that it's not stinky.
No, it's not like it's not
but like just like the level of poverty
yeah.
is like deep and you imagine yourself going back and like doing something nice for them when you are wealthy.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And like I was throwing hundreds out.
Were you?
No.
I don't know. I do feel like, I mean,
I'm not at that point.
No, but when you are at that point, that's like such a nice thing to do.
For your daily reminder that I'm the star.
I'll send some hundies to the Shipibos when the back nine hits.
And so I already feel more like I feel more dropped in than I did on the last version. More like less needy and more confident in my words.
Hmm. Okay, let's cut to a clip.
I'm not being as funny as Patty was.
No, I mean, this podcast isn't actually... This is the trick.
It's
a comedy
pod.
Well, we've like laughed, haven't we? But I would always rather go to a deep thing. That's what the goody-goody is, you know?
Yeah,
sometimes
yeah.
a goody-goody is like a fun little chuckle.
Yeah.
And then more times than not, wouldn't you rather, if you're at a party, talk to someone who's like...
Interesting. And
yeah.
Than trying to make you laugh the whole time?
Because mm-hmm.
if they're trying to make me laugh, I'm like... Get me out of
you're
here.
Dead to me.
Yeah.
You would probably say to their face, you're desperate.
I would probably say something like...
I mean, we didn't hear it because it's obviously happening in editing, but okay.
I sounded really bad.
All better now. So you get to...
So I get there and I finally get to like the property, the first part of the property where like Cena and his family lives. That's not where I was going to be staying. But these two beautiful kids, like probably like 3 and 5, just came running up to me and like their smiles were so bright. And like I immediately, because I was expecting something really different, okay. I was like a little like, whoa, this is really intense.
And I'm like in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. And I'm by myself and no one speaks English.
That's actually really fucking scary. Yeah. Just being by yourself somewhere remote where
I kept being like, whoa, this is really intense. But then I saw the kids' faces and they just were like,
wait, who recommended the spot? Like, how did you know about
this model on Instagram?
Oh my god, yeah, I would be fucking shitting my pants. Recommended from an Instagram model?
Yes.
Oh my god.
And I just like blindly took her word.
How many followers does she have?
50k.
Okay, well, still scary.
Yep, that's the model.
Okay, so
I get there and then we take they have like their own motorcycle thing. I take that. I was expecting, like, I had been emailing with this European guy. I expected him to be there being like, this is your bed. Here's a towel. Like, here's how things work here.
Yeah.
No one was there. They literally like dropped me off there and then left.
Oh my God.
And I didn't know like when the ceremony started. So I'm like in the middle of the jungle.
Does your cell phone work?
I had like very little.
I'm sure that travel day doesn't seem like you've got full juice.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, no. And I have a story about that coming up.
Oh shit.
But so,
okay. Yeah, so you're just there.
Like there.
So you're there. And the kids are gorgeous.
And it's like,
the
kids have left.
The kids have left. You're just in the middle of the jungle being like all dressed up with nowhere to go.
Yeah. And so like, I like get to my hut. They pointed to my hut. And like the hut was just like kind of like a dirty mattress with a mosquito net over it. And I was like, okay, this is it. And like God. The conditions of the jungle are so harsh. Like
what was the weather like?
Like fucking hot and humid, like almost unbearably so.
Oh my God, Jordan.
And like mosquitoes and like you just can't be out. Like you have to be.
I would be having big problems.
I mean, it was a not cushy experience. Like I'll say that much.
Holy shit! And being able to like let go and have trust in like taking the medicine.
Yeah. And we were like trying for a second to do like Google Translate, but I had no service, and I wanted to ask questions, like what's the deal, like,
yeah,
and like
shit.
I just couldn't ask anything, like so like there was no communication. I was just like. They told me they left and they were like, ocho, ocho ceremony, ocho. So I was like, okay, I know it's at 8.
Yeah.
And so I like.
And it was just you?
And it was just me. Yeah. I was the only person there doing this.
Oh my God, Jordan.
And so.
That is like so much trust in the universe that you have to.
I immediately, Cena, like I trusted him. Okay. I was like, this is someone who takes his job seriously. Like he, and like little did I even fucking know. Because, like, what I saw in the ceremony is, like, the profound respect I had for him.
Yeah.
Was, like, I mean, yeah. Deep, deep, deep respect.
Can you describe that, or do you want to...
I'll describe it when I start, like, talking about the ceremonies a little more. But, so, like, I got there at noon, and the ceremony started at 8. So, I'm, like, that's 8... If think about 8 hours. That's a long time. So like just like leading in the hot heat and
it's not, you didn't feel like napping or what?
It was hard to nap because it was so hot.
Damn.
And like it was just so, I was just nervous. I was uncomfortable. Like I was like, what the fuck is going to happen? I hadn't eaten in a while. And then like I was in for a rude awakening because like then at like 3, they brought me lunch.
Yeah.
And it was like, I was like, oh, it's going to be this. For 4 days.
What was it?
It was like, so like the dieta, which is like what you're supposed to do before and during, is like no salt, no spices, no dairy, no sugar,
so just like
no caffeine,
sweet potato or something.
So it was like unsalted white rice, with like a sliced tomato.
Wow.
That was
delicious.
It was like.
Did it start tasting good?
No, I just stopped eating altogether, basically. Because like
way,
I was like,
way to go, bitch!
Ayahuasca
made me thin.
I really did. I came back probably like 8 pounds later, and then I gained some of it back. But okay, so I think it's time. We have my like pre-experience.
Okay,
and then
it's time.
So and I felt in the first one that I couldn't talk about anything that was happening in my life, right? I really didn't talk about much.
I don't know that. Like, I didn't leave our first conversation being like, "What a dumb bitch! She needs to fix it up."
Okay, and we
like right. I always feel like even the kind of person like what it took to get on the plane and like be so tenacious is maybe not the exact word, but like so driven to get to this tribe in the middle of the jungle and then eating this pukunkly food. I mean, that's a cool person. I think, but you definitely in our like that day together felt like you had a lot of questions.
I had a lot of questions.
Of like swirling like about what direction
and
to go.
And now that I'm a bit on the other side, like I can say the last like few months I have basically just been like, long story short, like I want everything to be different. Nothing's working. Like I didn't know if my relationship was going to work. I wanted like all new friends, no offense.
Yeah. And, oh my God, you wanted all new friends?
Kind of, yeah.
Like, what the fuck is wrong with me? I'm doing my best self.
No, you're actually part of the trips too.
Oh my God.
But like I felt this like new change coming and I didn't know how to feel about that. And so I was like, maybe everything in my life is wrong and I need to
You were interpreting some signs that your subconscious was giving you as like everything must go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, a little bit offended, but probably not as much as your boyfriend.
So like these and basically like I like prayed to the ayahuasca before and I was like, if at all possible, please don't dismantle my entire life.
Well, that's an interesting thing to pray for because I guess if you felt that your whole subconscious was telling you everything must go, that's still scary, even though you're interpreting it.
Yeah. And like, I had so many questions about love and like, I was like, the last few months of like the question of love has been really difficult for me. And like, I was like, I don't know what it means. Like the word didn't make sense to me. And like, I've been trying to think about it in so many different ways.
Yes.
And like, I was like, what does being in love mean? Like, what is it?
And I was like, bitch, you're in love with me right now. Snap out of it.
Yeah. So that just, I feel like because I was in a bad place, I was afraid to go into that because I didn't know what was going to happen.
Get into like deeper trouble.
Yeah. But now I feel like you can say it. So basically like, I did talk about like the first time I did it and remember she told me not to come back the next night and then I did. And then she like showed me a really intense, like what the universe is.
Yes.
So the first night of ayahuasca happens, I drank the sludge. It's fucking horrible. Like it's like, it was the most mud-like I've ever had it. Like it wasn't a liquid. It was like pure sludge.
God. Imagine, honestly, if you will, that like canceled flights, rebooked more planes, trains, automobiles, Ubers with no doors.
You get to your destination.
No real like cell phone batteries, bad mattress, bad food, and then sludge
for dessert.
Good girl.
And it like, it was really hard for me to get it down. It tastes like battery acid. And I like lie back and I'm like, here we go. And so this always happens to me when I do ayahuasca, but like it takes a really long time for it to hit me. So 45 minutes and he starts singing the like Icaros and I'm like, okay, just came to Peru and it's not going to work. Like, it's like,
honestly.
Yeah. I was like, great. I was like, the only thing worse than like a bad trip is like no trip at all.
Oh my God. Yes.
And then And then, like, so I started getting, like...
I choose no trip over bad trip. Really? Just to put it out there.
But when you fly to Peru, too...
I mean, all that whole thing seems crazy.
Yeah.
I'm already thinking of, like, how to monetize this, how to, like, I need to get my brother involved, get some, like, really nice huts in there, get them some money, some flow.
They don't want... There are a lot of that. There's a lot of that.
They don't want gentrification.
Basically, because, like, Icaros is this place in, like, the middle of the rainforest that has become, like, a ayahuasca tour. Tourism.
Yes.
Like Pucallpa is still completely indigenous, and like,
and they don't want to. Yeah. So we can't tell people. Well, they know the town now.
I mean, no, and they can go to this place.
How do they go there?
It's ronansina.com, ronansina.com. And wow. these shamans are the real fucking deal. And like, they're not overcharging. I think they're undercharging, but like, all the money goes back into they are such true healers and shamans. Yeah. Like, they do not work for money. They don't need,
I mean, maybe I'll go to him.
He's,
it seems like, I mean, well, you haven't even described the trip yet, but I'm just like, feel really good, and I do believe in that kind of healing, and I believe in that kind of, I don't know that even saying the word healing turns some people off. I was a skeptical person about all this kind of stuff.
It's truly, every night I thought about this, it's the only way to describe it. Like, you feel healed.
Yeah.
Like, it is so profoundly healing.
Okay, and so, like, tell me. Okay.
So
45 minutes in, you're feeling nothing.
So it starts, and then I start getting visions, and then it became very clear, like, oh, like, I'm about to learn. Like, it became like an educational setting in a way. And basically the first thing I saw was like this other dimension right above us.
Wow.
And it was like truly like maybe like a foot above me, and I was, my eyes were open,
oh my God.
I was seeing it.
Oh my God.
And it was this grid.
Is it like, now as it's washing over you, you're like, heart, you feel your heart beating and stuff, like you're going internal?
Yeah, you're there, but you're like, you're there and you're thinking through it.
How does your body feel as you're like starting to see this vision? Is it all,
your body feels different every moment, because like, it, like, sometimes you're feeling uncomfortable, sometimes your stomach hurts, like you don't know when you're gonna throw up, like,
yeah.
So I see this other dimension, and it's a grid of data. Like, I'm watching it, and it's like this conveyor belt of like endless data.
You actually talked about that.
Did I?
The first time.
Yeah.
Then there was matrix numbers.
Yes. Yeah. And so this time she was like, remember the first time she was showing it to me to fuck with me, because I couldn't understand it.
Yeah.
This was such a it was showing to me in such a delicate way, and telling me about it.
Wow.
And so I was like, oh, this is really interesting and cool. Like, so it's this, and how it was explained to me was that like, there is a dimension and there is another world right above us. And it was like a completely unemotional world. Like, it was not good. It was not bad. It wasn't happy. It wasn't sad. It wasn't
matter of fact.
It was just there.
Yeah.
And how it was explained to me was that like, every word that's ever been spoken, every piece of knowledge, everything that's ever existed in this universe is like always there, circling above us. And like, if you can access it, like you do have access to it. It's like there for, I kept hearing, and
it's there for you to use. It's facts, and it's there for you to use.
Yeah.
And it's number, it was visually, you were seeing like codes.
It was literally just conveyor belts of like data. Like they looked like almost like hard drives.
Wow. Okay. So, and what is your interpretation as this is like, because I know that it's so hard to put into words, these trips.
Yeah. I'm just looking and I'm like, wow. And I kept hearing like, you can use this. And then, but then going back, like I think about the times I have felt, and I've only had it a couple of times in writing, but like, you know, when people say like, it just flowed out of me, like the times it's flowed out of me, I've written information that I didn't know. You know what I mean? I can't explain it, but like, you know, when you're writing or you're like singing and it's like either emotions you didn't know you had, like truths about life that you didn't know you had.
Okay. So yeah, like
it's like coming
realizations
to you. Yeah. But that are like,
but in this visual, you're recognizing that they all exist, these yeah. realizations, and you can use them or you can not.
Yeah. But it's also actual information. Like you can like, whatever George Washington had in his brain, like you can potentially access that. And I don't know if any of this is real. This is what I was saying.
What was in that guy's brain?
I have no idea.
I want a taste of that.
But we have to keep going. So
okay, we've got to keep going.
Because the first half of the first night was my like teaching moments. Uh-huh. And then, so that trans, I was like, this is cool. Oh, and I remember being like, because I'm going to be honest, like the biggest thing was like, what's going to happen with my relationship. And so like, I remember being like to this like benevolent God, I was like, we're going to talk about Charles now. And like, they were literally,
I just want to do a quick shout out to Charles.
We love Charles so much. I was like, we're going to talk about Charles now. And the voices are like, bitch, I'm like showing you what the universe is. Like, I'm showing you the biggest gift you can show a human brain.
And you're
like, think about how small what you want is right now.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're right. So then it transitioned to like, it started showing me like what my body is. And it just became like so clear that it like truly is a puppet.
Yeah.
For like your soul and brain.
Yeah.
And it slowed down my brain and my reflexes to like show me how much I'm controlling my body. Mm. So it'd be like, pick up your right arm. And then I would see myself do it. And like, it slowed my brain down enough to see the space in between
the movements. Wow.
It was really cool. And then,
yeah, I mean, well, that yeah. thing, that like just the idea that we move these bodies around
yeah.
and what we put into them and yeah. what like, yeah.
And then it was like, it showed me how it like zoomed into on a cellular level, how perfect our bodies are and like the things doctors could never even see because they're too small and like how the body actually works.
How does it work?
It's like, it's so cellular that it's like, and so perfect.
Oh yeah. How like deep into the cells.
Deep.
Well, I mean, I feel like I can't be the first person who's noticed that the fucking universe looks like a fucking cell.
Yeah.
It's all just repetition of patterns.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and then it started showing me like the inside of my body. And it was like, if you can like lift your arm with your brain, like you can control the inside of your body and you can like heal yourself.
Whoa.
And it was like, it like showed me like my liver and it was like, think about your liver and think about the cells and like you can control all of it.
Wow.
And then I was like, and then I was like, what happened? I remember thinking like, what happens if I like give my puppet up and like give my body up? And the second I did that, it was, you won't be able to see this because it's a podcast, but like my arm raised and I started doing these insanely fast finger movements. That was like a language.
You were truly just a person on Sunset with a cardboard box.
Yeah. But it was like, and I was like looking at it and like my fingers were moving in this like language so fast. And I was like, this is so weird. And then I had no idea what it was. And I mentioned this to my therapist the other day.
Yeah.
And there's like, he was like, oh, those are the blank movements. What's like there's a Tibetan thing that's like,
oh, you were doing a Tibetan
these Tibetan
thing.
Movements.
Wow. You were doing a Tibetan flash mob.
Yeah.
just to describe, it's like his hand is like doing like what you would make shadow puppet wolfy faces.
Yeah, it's like Kermit
and
the Frog.
Then like just his fingers are moving a lot.
Yeah. And like God was like, your hand is Miss Piggy.
That's what's really at the core. I came back from Peru and I realized like, fuck, my fucking hand.
And this whole time
my hand's been Miss Piggy.
And I'm so grateful for that. And so that was like, I think there was a couple more lessons I was taught, but then it like became very clear. It's like, okay, now it's like time to talk about life.
Okay.
And like this next section might be a little like self-congratulatory, but it just is real.
So you know how to press fast forward. It's plus 30, plus 30, plus 30.
Yeah.
Back 15 because he mentioned your name.
But basically, like, I immediately saw myself as a lion.
Ooh.
And like, it was a female lion.
Ooh.
And it just like, it clicked so hard. I was like, oh my God, like I have been this whole time. And like, I hadn't realized because I was a child lion. Like, you know, like a cub lion is not, doesn't act like a lion.
Everybody knows that. Jordan's coming back doing stand up from the jungle.
So you know cubs are.
You know those baby monkeys. They don't know their mom.
Yeah. And I like saw myself like, and where I am in my life. And I was like, I have made this happen. I've like made my life happen. And I've like pushed through like a lion does. And like, I saw myself coming into my own, which is why all this shit has been happening. It's like, it's like growing pains a little bit of like being scared of the strength that like I am approaching.
Yes.
And like, I literally saw myself in walking through the world and like, I was untouchable. Like it was like unaffected, unemotional and unaffected. Like
fuck yeah.
Nothing anyone could say to me can affect me. Like people could be horrible to me and it doesn't affect me because like I was at the top of the food chain and like it did not matter. And like I like felt so calm. I felt calmer and more genuinely confident than I ever have in my entire life. Like a pure genuine confidence and like there was no ego. It wasn't like I'm better than anyone. It was just about me.
It was just the facts.
Yeah. And it wasn't like no one else.
Honestly, like when you put it that way, why wouldn't anybody feel, you know, like we put on these like layers of like
to the lion. Yeah.
We all have access to the lion and then we've got these fucking filters of like baggage and insecurities and but like what a great lesson. Totally great lesson.
And like no one, like jealousy didn't exist because it's like how could
you be jealous if you were on your path on your own way and there's enough meat for everyone.
And then
lessons
and then basically like I don't want to get like too much into like any of Charles and I's issues because they actually don't matter in the long run. But like then I saw like Charles and it was like what I need is like for Charles and I to be lions together. And I saw like
yay, totally, you guys are both such lions. I know. And like
I saw us both like walking through the world together. Oh, and like my God, so strong. And like it was so unemotional but there was love there. And like it was like we go off and do have our own paths and come back to each other, but like we are not the same person. We are not we do not need each other.
No.
And like we are not each other's parents and like we're not each other's cubs. Like you are two
co-lions.
And jealousy has been an issue for both of us. And like I just saw it and I was like it has no place. It has no place in our relationship. And I just started thinking about like the last few months and like the hard times we've gone through. And like I felt something literally just like lift. And it was like, and all of a sudden I had no anger and no resentment. Like it was like all of it was just gone.
Wow.
Like in a moment.
So sweet.
It was amazing. And I was like, and I didn't feel emotional. I felt so clear. And I was like, this is like how we do this. And it was
it's
like
so amazing how like that in my trip I went to my family that like they basically were trying to break up with me after I came out. My extended family, my like aunts and uncles on my dad's side. And so I pictured them with, and I thought about them with so much love and like everything, all of the like disappointment sort of like was like, what is that for? It's just like understanding, and it's like everything that happened. That's what
happens. Like,
And
I just like forgave any bad thing he had ever done to me. And it was true forgiveness. Like I did not feel it.
That's so sweet.
So yeah, that was basically the gist of the first night.
Wow.
But it was like so amazing to like, the first night come and like what I really came to do was figured out.
Yeah.
And it was like, so I spent the next day like just like writing about it and thinking about it more. And then I'll just keep going through the nights. Is that okay?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then, and I was like, what could night two even be? Like all my work is done.
I mean, day, what is the day after? Like, what is?
It's like, I literally like, those were the hardest parts because yeah. I'm in a bed with a mosquito net on me all day, the entire day. Just like.
And then where does the ceremony take place?
In like this, I forget the name.
Is it like a hut?
Yeah, it's like a big hut.
Okay. Was it nice? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It was, the wood was really nice.
Did it smell nice in there?
Mm-hmm. Smells like Palo Santo.
Okay.
And
okay, so the days are hard and you're going into night two.
Yeah. And I just felt, I remember at the end of night one, I was like, I just felt like so grateful. I was like, whoa, what this plant has the power to do. Like, I can't believe all those revelations came in night one. And it wasn't like, it wasn't a super intense trip. Like it was,
you didn't throw up.
I did throw up, but not a lot.
Okay.
So then night two happens and like, we're an hour in again. I was like, nothing's going to happen. I learned all my lessons. And then I started to get like extremely uncomfortable in my body. And like, that's the only word I could use to describe it. Mm-hmm. Like uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And like, you know, in horror movies when like something's trying to like escape someone's face, like I started making these insane, tight, tense faces.
Okay, so go for one night.
and then I started to get even more uncomfortable. Like something literally was trying to escape my body.
Miss Piggy, and it was Miss your Piggy, hand, bitch.
And my hand went inside, came out my mouth. Wait, how does Miss Piggy talk?
I'm a Miss I'm Piggy. Piggy. I'm an Italian Piggy.
And I found out I was Italian.
I believe it. Okay, but tell me, it's like horror time. This
horror
is making
time.
This is a spooky episode for October.
and then it very quickly became evident that like my brain and my heart were battling.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like thrashing around. Like my face was spasming. I was like, but I wasn't crying. Like no tears were coming out, but I wanted to cry, and I wanted to cry so badly, but my head wouldn't let me.
Oh my God.
And I was like begging my head to like let up, and it wouldn't.
Oh my God.
And like my heart was begging too, and my head wouldn't let up. And then this lasted for like probably.
I want to see this animation.
It probably lasted for like 45 minutes. Like it was really.
So you must have been feeling like throwing up at this point.
I was throwing up intermittently during that. And it was just really painful and uncomfortable. And then I laid back and I just was like, I took a breath and I like listened to the Icaros, the music that he was singing, the chants. And all of a sudden I like look down and like a door in my chest opens up and light just starts bursting out of it. And I just started sobbing.
Oh my God.
Sobbing. And I was like, I saw how closed my heart was for the last while.
Oh my God. And like, it's like really beautiful. I have tears in my eyes.
I saw like how closed my heart had been to Charles for a long time.
Yeah.
And like, I just felt so sorry. And I felt like, we're both crying now.
It really is just like, because I also love you guys and talking to you and feeling, you know, these questions that you had and not really, not me feeling like, oh, but I just think you're so sweet.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But,
and it was like, I understood it. I understood why he acted, why he made mistakes and like, and like, I was not giving my love to him. And like, I saw the moment when it stopped happening, which was like an event in our relationship. Yeah. And I saw myself like close my heart to him because I was scared.
Yeah.
And like, I just saw it and I just cried and I cried for so long. And like, but that release like then turned into joy. And like, I was just so grateful to have like my heart open again. Cause I realized like how closed it was.
Yeah.
And like, And it was also like, I don't know, I think there another lesson in there was like, when the head and heart are fighting, like the second I let go and listen and like actually was present and listened to the music and took a breath and like listened, mm-hmm. like that's when your heart can open. You know what I mean? And it made me feel like meditation, like anytime you stop and just yes. literally like be present, like yes. your heart can open.
Yes.
And then he came wow. over. Yeah, it was incredible. And then all my questions
oh my god
about yeah. love yeah. were like answered, because it was like I was thinking of like, do I love him or am I in love with him? And I was like, oh my god, like that doesn't exist. Like these love is only yeah. a thing. Like love yes. is only an energy. So it's not that I'm in or out of love. It's am I giving love or am I not giving love?
Yes.
And that's it. And it doesn't even, and like the ayahuasca wasn't being like, Charles is your soulmate. It was being like, you have the choice to give this person love or not.
Yes.
And it's like, this can be your partner who you give love to.
Yeah.
And like it made me realize that the whole in love thing is kind of phony. Like it's not real.
Well, I think it just is a like word that describes that, maybe that flow even yeah. when love happened, when you were talking about yeah. like when it's just, when love is just happening and it's not like you're actively like conscious yeah. of like I should give love or yeah. that it's just like a burst.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily like when people say, are you still in love? It's like Shauna and I have been together for 11 years and I say yes because I feel that flow with her.
Yeah.
But not all the time. Like yeah. it's not like, you yeah. know.
And like I'm not crazy. I don't think like I'm like now forever the door in my chest is gonna be open no. all the time. But like to know it's there and to see, I didn't like realize how closed it was mm-hmm. and like that
it's just interesting because it is such a beautiful thing, this idea of like this door opening and like light pouring out of you, just like all of things, everything opening up yeah. and then at the same time like when you came here also you're like, today was the first day that like a life thing happened in my day-to-day and it's yeah. like, oh, but we still need like that's why we close our doors, because yeah. life, you know, makes us feel disappointed for yeah. being too open.
Yeah. And it hurt if you're too open.
And
it
we
hurts
do have
you.
To be kind of clever and lion-like yeah. about how much or when.
Yeah.
But at the same time, isn't it a shame that so many people then just like seal it closed?
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay. Yeah. No.
Yeah. It's sad. And like, it's why problems existed in my life. Without saying too much, like I thought there was a mountain of shit and problems in my relationship. Mm-hmm. And yeah. like, I literally was like, how do I even begin to thread the needle of what the problem is? It's so insidious and layered.
Yeah, you really felt like you could.
And then I saw it and I was like, it's so much simpler than that. And like the mountain of shit doesn't actually exist. It's like, it's, problems are happening because someone is reacting to me not giving them my love.
Yes. What an amazing thing for your boyfriend.
Yeah. Charles, and like,
to get one as like at the end of this, because also to be honest, like if we're, I don't know, we can cut whatever we want to cut, but like, I felt like as Charles's friend too, it felt like, I mean, you got to know from like how much he like stuck with you throughout this in terms of like the realization being that you were not opening yeah. to him, that like that's so fucking hard to be yeah. on that side of it, and that's like so much love
yeah.
to give to like have the other person exploring the way you were.
Yeah.
And I'm just so happy that yeah. you guys have each other, yeah. that you guys are co-lions, that you yeah. don't need each other, that there is no answer of like for any of us is like, yeah. what is a soulmate? It's just like, are you giving love?
Yeah.
And is this the person that you're giving love to and receiving love yeah. from? And does it feel good? And sometimes you don't yeah. allow yourself to feel good.
Yeah. Yeah. And like coming back and telling, like I was nervous that he wouldn't be receptive, but like when I said, like he broke down when I said it, because like it mm-hmm. like it was like he felt so seen.
I mean,
like,
I'm just so happy that we are gonna get a movie about it, you know. It's like these scenes are just too good and you guys are too smart and funny and good at telling stories.
So and like it made it made the like night one even like more potent, because I was like, oh, it's like, if I can like, yeah, it's like the lion and the love, because like I didn't quite. It wasn't complete after night one. If I had gone back after night one, it would not have been complete.
So if you came back after night one, do you feel like you would have been kind of annoying or something?
No, my takeaway was like, he needs to be stronger. After night one, it was we need to be lions together. Oh, and it's like about you. Strength. And like, I didn't get the heart opening stuff yet.
Okay. So then night two.
It like taught me it's about both.
That it's about love and strength. Yeah. Okay, cool.
So that was great. And then like he came like right, and it's pitch, like there's no light at all during these ceremonies. It's pitch black, but I felt him come close to
Listener,
me.
Listener, can you imagine? Sludge.
The cool thing about it being pitch black is like when I saw that light come out of me, uh-huh. It was the brightest light I've ever seen. Like it's real. Like it's not, you're actually seeing it. It's not like you're imagining it.
Yeah. It's like you've got to squint.
Yeah. And then he came up to me and started singing the Icaros, and I just saw like, I saw myself be able to accept his love, and I gave it back, and it was just this energy, like I saw it flowing in into him and into me and out of me and into him. And it was like, I just felt so healed by his, and it, the fact that I felt him giving me that care and love. And I was like, how fucking noble, how noble to do this with your life and like, and actually be giving people love for your living, you know, and like your life's purpose is to heal people and like, and give them this. It's incredible. Like, it's just so, noble.
So sweet.
Okay. So then,
I mean, my mind immediately went to a joke place. Of like him being like doing this for a living, then getting home being like, Becky, I said cheeseburger. But that's not it at all. I mean, like, also, what a dumb bitch for like hearing all of this and being like, I should insult.
No, you can still. Well, that actually brings me to night three.
Oh shit!
Which was like, after night two, I was
also
like,
just want to put it out there that I love the shamans and I respect and love and truly
Maestro Sina and
I recognize that it's my brain. Like deflecting the lesson to create the vision of you being in an episode of Roseanne.
But it's also okay. I mean, make fun of all, like
you can make fun of anything.
You can also listen to this and completely think we're idiots.
No, you can't.
But it
honestly,
is real.
If you think we're idiots, fucking go listen to like a fucking
Joe Rogan.
Go listen to Joe fucking Rogan.
He's
honestly
actually having the exact same conversation. the light. It was starting to get dark. And then a quick story about after the first ceremony, I got some service on my phone. I found a place with service and I checked it and I got an annoying work email, and I was in such a fragile state that I started like really spinning out, really, really, really spinning out. And, I realized that was happening, and I was like, this is not right. I should not be doing this here. And my phone was at like 35%. I like put it down. I took a breath. I picked it back up again. It had completely died.
Great.
And then I went to plug it in and my charger had broken.
Great.
Like,
honestly,
the ayahuasca was literally like, no,
no,
no.
Wow.
And so I didn't have a phone for the rest of the trip. Yeah.
Wow.
Or going back to society, which was very difficult.
I'm sure. I mean, that's a whole other ayahuasca journey. Yeah. Would you rather drink thick sludge every morning for a week or not have a phone for a week? I'd drink the sludge.
Yeah. By the way, the Maestro Sina takes ayahuasca every night. And it's like after a certain point, he is just able to communicate with plants in the universe. Like he's not high. He's not like learning things. He is just able to truly communicate.
Plants in the universe?
With the universe. And like.
Is he vegan? Would you think?
Yeah.
You would be vegan if you could communicate with all.
Yeah. And so like the way I say like he is so knowledgeable and he's such a healer, it's like a completely different set of like rules about learning than we have, because he's literally learning from the universe. He's like getting downloads and messages from the universe and like knows how to heal based on that. Like these aren't like books that
he's
studying. It's
funny, like the tech part of the universe part, you know, because you like really, I think I imagine all like the vegan jungle part. Yeah. But then it's like
there were times where I was like,
another dimension.
I was like, is this actually like the Matrix? And like, are we some experiment? And
you,
like,
yeah, I mean, once you like really kind of think about the implications of like the universe looking like a cell and how that repetition of pattern is like, we are all made up of cells. It's like, what is even a size of a thing?
Yeah.
Like you try and think like, well, how big is the universe? And it's like, oh, that's not even, I bet, a question. It's just the way that we think in these size units, and it's not even a real question.
Yeah. It's all so, I mean,
like everything is infinite.
Oh, this actually also has to, this transitions well to the third night.
Ooh.
So
I hope I come up. You promised I was there.
You're there in the third night.
I your penis?
I started jacking off and it was Sabrina's face.
Hello. It's your buddy. If you thought you didn't love me, you love me now. I'm your buddy. I'm your
Sabrina.
Penis.
So I was literally like, I was supposed to do four. And then like after night two, I was like, I think three is enough. Like, and also just like the jungle was getting to me. I was like, I think I'm going to leave a day early.
Yeah.
And it's nothing to do with.
Like you were like, I've learned enough. It put my heart and my brain and my mind and my body through.
I felt so sure. I felt something tell me like this tonight is the night that. Tonight is the last night.
Day three. Yeah.
So, it starts and I told you I had like met like female God my first time doing this. Mm-hmm. And so I really wanted, and she had during these trips, she had kind of poked her head out for a second. And then like, I saw her be like, no, he's got it. Like, I don't need to be there.
Okay.
And I really wanted to like see her again. I wanted to like meet her again.
And when you say her, is there any visual vision color that you connect with? Like
Cate Blanchett.
No fucking way. Really?
No, but the inner.
Hello, Charles.
Or Jordan, whichever you are. I always get you too confused. No, it is the vibe of Cate Blanchett too, because it's strong. It's loving. It's like
no, but seriously, that is
strong, loving. I will say, like I.
So you're seeing when you say she pokes her head out, you're feeling the vibe
feeling
of Cate Blanchett,
an energy of like a female. A god or
Kate,
god.
I hope you're listening then. Name check.
Kate could play ayahuasca in the movie.
Okay. Okay. So
I'm like, and then, so I start thinking, I really want her to come out. And so I start thinking about that. An hour goes by and then it starts getting really intense. And then I start begging.
Uh-oh.
And then like within like a minute, do you know what like the feeling of struggle? Can you like put a feeling to what struggle is?
Yeah, I hate it.
So
like real struggle,
real
like
struggle,
like your drowning struggle.
Yes, but,
oh my
but
God.
Do you know what the feeling of like an emotional struggle? Like, can you put a feeling to that?
I've never really had too much conflict, so no, I'm
you
kidding.
you know that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So
like feeling unsettled.
Yes.
And, yeah.
Imagine that times 1,000. I felt a lifetime of struggle.
Oh my God.
And I was like sitting up, rocking back and forth, and literally just like begging God for answers. I did throw up a lot that night.
Begging for answers.
I was literally being like the biggest questions. I was like, what is this? Why are we here? Why do we struggle? Why is life hard? What is after this? Like, and I'm pulling my hair out. I'm hitting myself.
Did you have bruises?
I don't think I had bruises.
Okay, but
like,
but you're so
I was rocking back and forth.
I mean, also this maestro, the liability. I mean, when people are doing this, he must like, he knew he was fine.
And it was so hard. It was so hard. And I just felt all of these questions so deeply in me, which I do have in my life. Like it's like the Jew in me too. I'm like, oh, I've just always been searching. I've always wanted to know more. And like, and I just felt, yeah, I just felt an entire lifetime of it. And like, it was happening so hard. And then I'm begging. I lay down. This is such a visual thing. I lay down, and for listeners who don't know, there's a comedian named Kat Cohen, and Kat Cohen just comes to me and does this face.
It's like the emoji when you make the mouth small, yeah, and the eyes like, are kind of like
mouth
rolling.
Is on the side, and like she does a bit in her set that's like it's her Netflix face, and like her mouth goes around her entire face, and I saw her doing it, and I just started laughing so hard, and then this voice came to me, and it was like, you don't get to know any of this, and like that is the gift of life. Like,
yeah.
But you get to laugh at me. Yeah. And it was like, you get to make fun of me with your friends. And like when you, what, and it just like, it was such a profound shift to like, and it brought everything together, thinking about how lucky I am to be around funny people. And like you, and like I was thinking about you and Jeffrey and my friend Ruby and Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang, like all these people I'm lucky enough to know that like when we are laughing, like we are laughing at existence. Like that is what laughter is. And that is what like comedy is. And it made it just so.
Yeah, you have a great cast of friends. I can't believe you thought you were upgrading.
I know, but like
who did you want to be hanging out with? Julia Roberts and fucking.
Well, I just thought it needed to be different. And I just thought about funny people and like how existentially important it is. And like
what a beautiful, amazing, unique gift
to like go through life and be able to laugh at God. And God was there being like, I'm there to be laughed at because I'm not telling you shit.
Mm-hmm.
And like you, and like, you're going to search your whole life. And that's the fun part. Like that is the part that you have to be grateful for, because like, if you knew, you probably would, life wouldn't be that fun.
It's not the destination. It's the journey.
Yeah.
Bitch.
Yeah. And it was just like, I kept making that face and laughing, and then making a face and laughing. It was so funny to me, just thinking, like, asking God, like, what is life about? And then her making that face, like, and it was just like so beautiful. And it like, it just tied everything together. Like, it was so big. It felt like these huge life existential questions can be like made easier with laughter and comedy
and acceptance that you just don't know.
Yeah.
You just don't get to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Accepting the unknown is like, yeah.
And it was just like tough. So beautiful. Like I felt so grateful. Like I felt so deeply, deeply like humbled by the whole experience and like just grateful.
Oh, that's so, so sweet.
Yeah. And so
gratitude.
That was basically it. I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode.
Oh wait, I thought there was one more night.
No.
Oh great. Well, that's a great.
It was the perfect thing to wrap up. And I remembered asking her to not dismantle my life. And I thought about literally like this, like she curated a 3-act structure, like that, like everything I needed to learn was like perfectly in place, and everything happened at the right time and in the right way. And like, I was like, this fucking bitch, like I can't believe it. And like, I asked her to not dismantle my life, and like, she actually like pushed me back into my life.
Yeah. And she like woke you up and opened your heart to your life.
Yeah. And it was like, you have it, you need nothing. Like everything you have is what you need. And like, it's great.
It's so funny actually that you dyed half of your head blonde and half of your head is your color. Cause I mean, just like thinking about you and this like sliding doors situation that you were feeling.
Well, no, that's exactly, right when I saw it, right when I did, I didn't know why I wanted to do it. And then right when I saw it, I was like, oh, yeah. like I'm so filled with indecision right now.
Well, you were though, right?
I was when I did this, yeah.
Because you were seeing things that are just facts as decisions.
Yeah.
Today's episode is brought to you by the 2002 hit Crossroads, an American comedy drama road film set in Georgia, directed by Tamara Davis and written by Shonda Rhimes. The film stars Britney Spears, Anson Mount, Zoe Saldana, Taryn Manning, Kim Cattrall, and Dan Aykroyd. Watch Crossroads. It'll take you back.
I want to do one.
Okay.
Okay. And also, this episode is brought to you by ayahuasca, or ayahuasca, Hispanic spelling, from the Chueca. Ayahuasca, or yage, is an
yage
is an
is it yage
entheogenic brew made of out of Banisteroplopis copy vine and other ingredients. The brew is used as a traditional spiritual medicine and ceremonies among the indigenous people of the Amazon basin and is known by a number of different names.
Ayahuasca yage.
Do you have anything else more to talk about, or like what's...
Well, that, I mean, that was wild. Thank you so much for sharing it. I feel like it's honestly so, we're just taught to be so closed to the idea of like looking inward, and we're taught to be, be the kind of lion that doesn't shine their heart.
Yeah.
And like, who could blame you? This world's pukunkly.
Yeah.
This world's pukunkly.
It was, and every night I would just like be like, what the fuck, a plant made this happen? Like, how is this possible? How is this amount of revelation, the hugeness of these revelations and the hugeness of this healing, like how does this exist on planet Earth? And like, it is so, I don't want to be the person being like everyone should do it, because I don't believe everyone should do it.
How do you feel about that? Do you feel like some people just would not be in a place to be open to it?
Yeah, I think if you're not open to it, it won't work, I don't think. Or it'll have bad effects.
Yeah.
But I do think if you're like
willing to hear the messages.
Yeah. If you're willing to do the work, because like when I say I felt a lifetime of struggle, like you actually feel they say it's like 10 years of therapy in one night, because you actually do the work so intensely and so fast that it is like feeling
healed.
But the work is so, like the struggle parts are so intense that it's like you're feeling them a bunch of times, like feeling them more intensely than you would in life, because you have to go there to heal, to release. And it also made me think that like this hard time that my boyfriend and I were having, like it needed to get really bad for me to like feel I needed to go.
To take this journey. Yeah.
And like, and for me to feel as healed in my relationship as I do right now, it needed to get as bad as it could.
Everything needed to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Life. Everything needed to happen.
Yeah. Life.
I love you so much.
I'm so
glad you did that. And I'm honored that I was part of, I thought I had like more of a penis moment with you, like a full one-on-one.
I was like, I am so thankful for Sabrina. Like you definitely, like you were there and like you were.
I just would have rather been like the face of God when you were questioning. I wanted one of my jokes from my Netflix 15-minute special to be like the key to your heart. It's like, my wife is pregnant.
Well, I love you.
I love you.
See you at my house in an hour.
I know. I'm so excited. You guys are having your heart homecoming party tonight.
Yes. And if, like I said, if you are interested in it,
yes,
you can message me on Instagram and
Jordan
I'll answer
questions. JT Firstman.
I'll try to answer.
I love that it started with an Instagram model and it ends with you gaining followers. I love you so much.
I love you.
Yay! Yay!
Yay!
Yay!
Hello.
Hey, Mama.
Hi, Bina. How are you?
I'm good. We're just shooting and we're on lunch right now. How are you doing?
Oh, yeah. good. I forgot to ask you, how did that episode go, you know, that that's on air, so, because you said you had a little bit of a challenging scene there.
Oh, it was like a dramatic scene. Yeah, it went really well. We pre-taped a lot of stuff, like, we'll pre-tape stuff on Wednesdays and then do the live show on Thursdays. So the dramatic stuff was pre-taped on Thursday, and I think it turned out good.
Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday.
Okay,
sorry.
Good. Okay, good. Good.
Mama.
Yeah.
Would you ever do ayahuasca?
No, never.
Why not?
I don't think it's necessary. I just don't see the need for it, and I've heard some bad things about it.
Wait, what did you hear that was bad about it?
I think some people have problems with it, you know? But, I think somebody who actually did it in one of these countries, like not in the States, in, I don't know, Peru or whatever, mm-hmm. and there was something was there. Somebody had some problems, you know? I don't need it to be happy, you know?
Well, my friend Jordan did it and had a really profound experience and was going through kind of, we recorded one episode. Tuesday's episode was before he did ayahuasca, and then Thursday's was after. And he flew to Peru, went into the middle of the jungle, did like 3 days of intense, you know, drinking it's made from plants, drinking it and then being with a shaman. And he had these like profound, really big breakthroughs. Like he felt kind of like all of these truths came to him, like these ideas that like we don't have to feel jealous or feel resentful. All of that sort of melted away, and he had all this clarity. And you know, I've done ayahuasca kind of journeys, not as intense as what Jordan did, but I mean, I guess it's maybe generational, or
I think so, probably.
Because if you had a bunch of friends that were like, oh my God, this is working for me, then maybe you would be more prone to be like, oh, I should look into it. But this is just like, it feels like a bunch of young people.
I think I'm just in a good place right now. I just don't need it, you know.
But was there anything when you were growing up, like, did people do acid, or was there any time where
nothing like that. Oh, no. When I grew up, there was nothing like that. Everything was very innocent. Nothing.
Okay.
I think the first to probably smoke a cigarette.
Well, so then, so for you, when you say you're in a good place, what does that mean?
I'm content. I'm happy. You know, I like where I live. I like, you know, my life, my people around me. And, I like my little garden. I like my little knitting. You know, I like my neighbor. I help my neighbor. I give her stuff. She gives me stuff. You know, I just, I think it's just a good life right now. And I like to keep it that way.
Okay, so you're in a positive zone. And I mean, I do think that part of doing ayahuasca is remembering the things that you are grateful for. So it's almost like you are already on ayahuasca, Mom.
I'm really grateful, you know, and I think also one of the most important things is not to be selfish, you know. Spread your things, whatever you have, you know. If you have tomatoes in the garden, share them with people, you know. Whatever you can help people with, help them. You know, it makes you happy. Makes you happy to help people, and you know, and people will return things to you without you even expecting it. You know, I was this neighbor of mine, you know, the one who has the three little kids. I don't know how she copes so much work. You know, even just look after one little kid. You know, she's got this big apple tree and all these apples. Last year, there were no apples. It looks like it gives apples every 2 years. It's full of apples. And every day, there's tons of apples on the floor. You know, the squirrels are eating them. They're getting rotten. It's just a shame. So I've been taking apples. I've been giving to Anne's mom. Anne gave some to her sister-in-law. I gave to Ursula Kohler, you know.
You're like the Robin Hood of apples.
She doesn't have even time to make applesauce, so I made her applesauce a couple of times, and I gave her something else. I don't know what. Then the other day she had put she made some blueberry jam, she put a blueberry jam in front, you know, and texted me. And then the other day there was a can of maple syrup, you know, which actually I was just out of it. So it's nice. I think it's just nice to help you know, and help people out without really expecting anything in return. But you want to feel like it's appreciated. That's the main thing, you know.
Yeah, well, that's, I think, maybe that is an Ursula Fry ayahuasca truth, is that if you give to people, then you can't expect anything in return. But you have to admit, we're all guilty of having some kind of expectations. I guess what you're saying is you want to feel appreciated, but you're not, people don't speak yeah. the same, I mean, language of appreciation.
Somebody cannot afford, like, if I give somebody something and, you know, I know they cannot afford to give anything back, but you just want to feel appreciated.
Ah,
you know, even if they give you something small back, it's small things really that count.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's even in daily life, like if I take the streetcar, and I have to say, I haven't really taken it for a while now, but when I was...
Because you're rich. Because you're a rich woman.
And No. The thing is, you know, I was surprised most of the time when I took the streetcar, a young person would get up and offer me a seat, you know, and people always say, oh, young people don't care and blah, 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 you know, and it just makes you feel good,
yeah,
you know, when other people care about you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And simple acts of kindness.
I kind of think that I've always been a little bit like that, you know, trying to just be friendly, be nice to people, you know, and everywhere I lived, I've always gotten along with neighbors. And I think you guys are a little bit like that too. Samir and you, I find. You
Samir,
know,
yeah, but
saying,
I'm a cold,
about other people,
I'm a cold-hearted
know?
Bitch.
Yeah.
I'm a cold bitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So,
I saw the picture you sent about the staking out of your garage there. Eh?
We are building a back house. They're breaking cement and they're building foundation.
I don't think there's going to be too many baths now in the bathtub out there.
Of course there will be. Do you think I care if you're sitting in that apartment watching me take a bath?
Okay. Right,
we
now,
need to give. Oh, while they're building. Do you think I care if a bunch of construction workers are watching me take a bath? Free the nipple, baby. Free the nipple and free the genitals.
You're taking too many mushrooms, I think.
It's not mushrooms, mama. It's a Peruvian bark called ayahuasca.
Whatever.
And
whatever
I'm on it 24/7.
Yeah, okay. All right.
All right, mom. I love you very much.
Okay.
For the context for the listeners, I do have a outdoor bathtub. If you haven't heard about it on the podcast, here's a hot, hot, goody-goody tip. Get a clawfoot tub, route the hot water through a hose into that tub, and just live life like a fairy tale little lady.
But then you need a big tree above you.
You need a big tree above you to look up
That's
at the branches.
Ideal.
Yeah. Okay, mom. Yeah. I love you very much. Anything else to say to the goody goody listeners about having a goody goody ayahuasca state of mind without taking any drugs?
Yeah. Well, you know what the thing is. I was just looking up different, you know, things about, you know, the pillars of happiness, and one of them is actually open eyes, be open to new things. And I was just thinking about, you know,
your reaction to ayahuasca.
Open arms. Yeah. Open
yes.
eyes, open arms, open
yes.
mind, open mind. Okay. Open heart, open mind, open eyes, and open arms are the four pillars. Like people are describing it different, you know,
open
in different
wallet.
Ways, but that's how somebody, it described it.
Well, I do think that when I did that journey, and it like time goes by and you kind of forget the way it changes your heart and your mind. But like Jordan, when we started this episode, since he got back from Peru, one of the first things he said was, I am 100% healed. And my reaction was like, no, you're not. No, you can't be. No, you're not. You're not healed. And it's like, I felt like, come on, Jordan, you can't say that. But in his mind and in his heart, he felt that way. So why would I? That was like a closed reaction on my part. But you know, what we were talking about too is that it opens your heart and your mind in a way, but then you still live in society, mm-hmm. so you still have to be a lion a little bit. You still have to be kind of like cautious.
Yeah.
And, you know, just because you've learned that life is love and that the universe is better mm-hmm. with an open mind doesn't mean that like you can, because of the way society is so damaged, be open to everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, if you really were like that, people would trample all over you. I mean, you have to be aware of what's out there,
yes.
you know. But overall, you know, it's a good thing to
yeah. So open, you know, open mind with like a little bit of a squinty eye and a pretty open heart, but resilient to bounce yeah. back when someone tramples all over it.
Yeah, exactly.
All
yeah.
right. Yeah. Okay. Love you, Mama.
Okie dokie.
Bye bye.
I love you. Bye bye.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Engineered and mastered by Alex Sarche. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.